Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
...to speak with Kellen Moore today.
Good. It's your next head coach right there. That's what's coming. Have you seen the growing push, the growing hashtag out there? That's like no Kellen Moore. The Cowboys Twitter fan base is out there using hashtag no Kellen Moore or no to Kellen Moore or something like that. So this one would not go over
creative.
Well. This would no, it's not.
I would think they would use more as less.
Something like that. But no, they're pushing back. I've not seen a whole bunch of positive reaction to the idea of what seems like the favorite right now, which is Kellen Moore getting this job.
No, I know you spy on the other shows a lot, Utolo, and I was expecting you to call in with bloody rage to the G-Bag Nation when Zach Wolchuk and Eric Tiafalo yesterday were talking and they were just like trashing Kellen. Philadelphia is there despite Kellen Moore. Have you had any of these arguments with those two?
No. I mean, Eric a little bit. Not really an argument, more just a talking through why I think he's good and Eric doesn't. Zach, I saw he tweeted something yesterday, but then I remembered Brad Sham has Twitter, and Brad made sure to clap back at him. So I was like, okay, cool. All right, I got Brad here to handle him.
What happened?
He said something like, boy, I don't want the coach that if you hire him, their fan base is clowning you for doing so. And Brad like replied back with a bunch of question marks and exclamation points like, why the hell do you care what another fan base thinks? That's not why we're hiring a coach. And so, which I agree. Doesn't matter what another fan base thinks. It can be indicative, but I also think that that's a silly way to summarize the way that Philly fans have felt about Kellen Moore or whatever else.
Need you to help me figure out his little connection here, you know.
With Kellen Moore?
Yeah, the Dak Prescott thing. You know, did Dak look at him one time for 1 second in the locker room? Did he have one conversation with Kellen Moore?
Yeah.
There's something here that we don't know about.
Dak broke
wind.
Jane
Slater would call it, like, he's fanboying.
I'm the reverse with you guys and everybody else. Like, where it's like, we collect everything and can see over a four-year period when they work together. I want the number one offense in the league again. That's what I want.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. They absolutely were. They worked well together. I wouldn't hate the move. I'm just uninspired by it. Like, I think Kellen Moore will be a good coach. I'm just uninspired by it. That's it.
You think he would be a good coach, but we have been in lockstep this entire week questioning him as a CEO.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think he's a good football coach.
I have that same question, by the way. That's not.
Why isn't that
everybody's a flawed candidate? Like there are flaws to everybody that we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's true. I'd rather your okay. You did a flaws segment and topic the other day. I'd rather your flaw be something else versus the leadership aspect as the head coach.
I don't think it's that he's a bad leader. I don't think he's a disciplinarian. For instance, I think that this locker room. There's a good portion of this locker room that's already dealt with him before. And in some instances you're talking about, there's a portion of this locker room that has played alongside him, watched him come along as a coach, watched him come along as an offensive coordinator. And I think respects the varied experience that he's had the last couple of years.
Let's get the semantics out of the way. And then Choppy, we'll go down the list of negatives. We'll power rank the negatives. The interview will be done virtually and cannot last more than 3 hours. Kellen then is going to interview. Albert Breer has him interviewing today with Jacksonville and the Saints tomorrow. So explain for me. We did this with Bobby Slowick. We started to yesterday. how some can interview and some can't. I thought the Cowboys missed the window. That was the big thing that we were destroying them for. The Cowboys missed the window to talk to Aaron Glenn. They missed the window to talk to Ben Johnson. These teams that are currently participating, you can't talk to Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah.
Explain it.
So it's stupid. And it's almost intentionally convoluted, it feels like. The guys with the bye, the guys who were missing
Kansas
a week.
City,
yeah,
and
that
Detroit.
That was their window that they missed. The guys who played last week or who coached last week and who moved forward, they've got a separate window now where largely
they couldn't talk last week.
Yeah, because they're doing everything to prep for their game and everything else. And so they get a separate window into the following because they're trying not to just block guys from being able to talk.
But Kellen's prepping for a game.
Yeah, but you have to allow guys to talk.
Yeah,
so
they don't fall behind too much in the cycle.
So you don't do it first round, right? So they couldn't talk at all last week.
Yeah.
Theirs started, I guess it was the day after their completed game. So if you were a Rams or Vikings assistant, you couldn't speak till like Wednesday or Thursday. But Kellen and guys on Saturday and Sunday, they could have talked like Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, and
they're already freaking out in Philadelphia that Jerry Jones is intentionally distracting Kellen Moore.
The other aspect of this is, and I don't think it's a rule, but most of these end up being virtual. Mm-hmm. Like when you're talking about guys who are...
It's only virtual this week.
So when you get into the virtual period, it's like, all right, they're not leaving town. They're not being face-to-face. By Friday, Saturday, when a lot of these things are getting set up, game plan's pretty much installed. You're putting finishing details on it. And I think the league probably views it as like, that's not as much of a distraction, and we can't let these guys just completely fall behind in the cycle.
Okay, so I want to... On one side, keep Kellen Moore leadership question by itself, and let's compare everyone else's negative traits to that and figure out which one is a bigger problem for you. By the way, Kellen Moore today for the Cowboys, virtually 3 hours, up to 3 hours. Robert Saleh tomorrow, Leslie Frazier on Monday. Brian Broaddus also says that Mike Zimmer would take the Cowboys' head coaching job if offered it.
Well, he'd take it. I'm sure he would take it.
Well, I wasn't sure that he would take it. If you are overwhelmed and have one foot out the door as a coordinator, how is your stress level and your want to, with all the BS and drama you're going to deal with, decrease as the head coach?
I think an extra $5 million a year will do that.
I don't even know that it's the stress level. Like, it's partially that, but it's also, and he talked about it a little bit at the end of the season, the fact that he had been with Adam, his son, for so long in the coaching ranks, this is the first year, I think, just being around football another year without Adam and, like, experiencing that for the first time, I think it was tougher than he anticipated to coach this year without him. And obviously there were challenges of everybody was running out of time, but I think that's the one situation where it's like, I'd be willing to give that a go again. Maybe he could be talked back into defensive coordinator, but I do think that there was a lot of fatigue that set in, sort of emotional fatigue of just like, man, this is more taxing and more difficult to coach again than I thought it was going to be.
All right, child, let's do this exercise.
All right, so why I don't want blank to be the next head coach. I'll just run down a list of names of what I perceive as perceive.
And y'all name your answer on the Frank LaFranco injury attorney text line 877-881-1053.
All right, so the first one was Kellen. And to me, that's just more of the same. It's a link to the past. I don't want a link to the past. This team seems to favor someone who is either familiar, has a relationship with the Joneses.
Worked in the grocery store.
I don't want that. Get away from that. It hasn't worked. Get away from a link to the past. I think he's a good coach, but like a good coordinator, good coach. I don't know that he commands a room, but still. A link to the past.
And you don't have a problem with his offense that you've made fun of?
It's old, it's stale, but Dak works well with it. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like the offense. I think it's just a bunch of curl routes. But Dak seemed to do well with it.
A bunch of curl routes is what Mike McCarthy had been running.
Well, there you go.
We can look at next gen stats and see that.
Kingsbury. First off, he stinks. Look at the history. All he does in this
good.
In the second half of seasons, literally every year, their offense gets worse. And this year would have been the same had they had played a remotely decent schedule down the stretch.
So Kingsbury is like second half predictability.
Predictability. It's like if you play him a second time, somehow you know exactly what he's going to do.
What's your big cliff hang up?
How poorly things have gone at Texas Tech and Arizona. Just an inability to win consistently.
Agreed. That's a bigger problem than Kellen.
Yeah. Brian Flores. He won some games in Miami. It got ugly real fast. And truthfully, I don't want any part of anyone, any New England tree. Anything to do with New England, I want no part of it. That seemed toxic.
For me, it's Brian Flores, like, doing all the CEO things and playing the game and for lack of a better term, staying quiet.
he has the Belichick assistant stink on him. Yep. Of just when you've gone into another job, it has ended really poorly with a lot of your tactics being questioned.
Bigger than Kellen.
It's a massive risk. He may be a better coach. I don't know, but it's a massive
Jordan risk. Jordan Schultz is trying, I'm sure, through Flores' agent to say Brian's learned a lot next to Tomlin and next to Kevin O'Connell for a year. How much you believe in that change, that is up to you.
Pete Carroll. He's 75-ish, 74. I think he's outdated. He runs an outdated offense. Like the offense that he would bring in, I mean, they're just going to keep Schottenheimer.
My big hangout with Pete Carroll is the offensive philosophy, but I don't view that as a bigger problem than Kellen's leadership. I would prefer Pete Carroll.
I'd prefer Pete Carroll. I don't think they're going to hire Pete Carroll.
You would prefer him?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to hire him, though. Why? But, if you're just talking about, also, the other thing is how close.
Why would you hire Mike McCarthy and not Pete Carroll?
Do we think Mike McCarthy's even in the same, ballpark as Pete Carroll? I don't. I don't think it's even close. Pete Carroll consistently has shown,
Carroll's better and you hired Mike McCarthy, then why would you not hire Pete Carroll? Wouldn't they?
Because I think they look at it as they don't want to hire a 75-year-old coach. They don't want to hire. How close do you think your window is? If you think you're right near the edge and it's like, hey, put somebody come in here to push us over the top, Pete Carroll makes sense. I don't know how much longer Pete Carroll's going to coach. It might be 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to do that.
Which would be perfect for the Witten waiting.
And they do not want to hire a defensive coach, I don't think. That's the biggest. That's another problem here. And Pete Carroll is a defensive coach. As much as he got hit for the offensive philosophy stuff, I think, again, history and reflection has been kinder to the way he handled Russell Wilson. Going, some of the stuff your staff did was actually right.
I mean, he'd be like, I would settle for it. He'd be the best of the bunch. I just, it's like, all right, what's he get? What kind of style is he going to play? Doug Peterson. I cannot, in good faith, put someone named Doug in a position of authority.
Hey. Come on, be nice to Doug.
I cannot. Doug is a professional wrestler on the indie circuit in central Pennsylvania who goes by the ring name The Rooster. All right, that's what Doug is.
He's also a great video guy.
What's your biggest Doug knock?
I don't think he's a great coach. I don't think he's a particularly advantageous coach. He is Doug Marrone. Those types of coaches. Yeah, there you go. To me, he's just generic. Doug Marrone, Gus Bradley, John
another
Fox.
Name. There you go, another one. Same. I can't have a Gus. I can't have a Gus in charge. And that's my grandfather's. That's my son's middle name. And I can't put a Gus in charge.
Makes zero difference and looked way too thin-skinned in Jacksonville this year. I don't think Dallas is getting any better.
Robert Saleh. I don't want anybody from the Cowboys past. I want nobody who's been touched by the Jets. That is toxic. He was over his head there. He'll be over his head here. And they need to fix the offense anyway, so... The focus on the offense.
Saleh's fine. I wouldn't hate the hire. I'm not taking him over Kellen, though. Kellen gives me a schematic advantage that Saleh can potentially give you on the defensive side of the ball, but it's just not nearly as consistent.
Do you believe in Saleh more as your CEO?
Part of me wants to say yes because of what he's done at other stops, but, man, he really seemed neutered in New York that I don't know that that's any better here.
I'm struggling with that one.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with Saleh versus Kellen. I probably lean towards Kellen.
Yeah, I would too. Joe Brady.
Look, Ben Johnson, I don't know anything about Joe Brady. I love, give me Joe Brady's offensive mind over Kellen Moore. Give me Joe Brady OC right next to Ben Johnson. What do we know about Joe Brady personally?
Not much. I will say this.
Joe Brady's had to go through coaching rehab.
Joe Brady
was the hottest name, and that Carolina stop was bad.
He had the only time.
Care. I mean, I'm not going to hold that against him.
But that isn't the job of a great OC to be able to, like Kevin O'Connell, Kyle Shanahan, get something out of bad quarterbacks. He was great when he had Joe Burrow, and great when he had Josh Allen. I mean, I could be the same.
Yeah, but who was his quarterback in Carolina?
Those 2 years, who would it have been? It would have been Darnold for one.
Mm-hmm. Baker.
And then, yeah, I can't remember who 2020 would have been. 21 was Darnold, though. 20 may have been Darnold.
I don't know how fair it is to just eliminate him because he didn't do it with those two, even though other people have.
He was, yeah, but the problem was is that Rule brought him in, and he was basically told, like, he was the hot shot, and it's like, all right, this is yours. Yeah. This is all yours, and it never looked schematically advantageous against other teams.
Todd Monken. First issue is he's 60 years old and he's been a head coach for 3 years in his entire coaching career. His coaching career has lasted 40 years. He's been a head coach for 3 years. So in 40 years, only Southern Miss thought he was good enough to give him a head coaching job. That's it. Like, do you know how hard it is to win two national championships in an SEC school as a coordinator and not get a college job out of it? I mean, yeah. Even Jeremy Pruitt got a college job out of it.
I mean, I'm not even giving time to Todd Monken because I know that's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, if they were talking about their hiring an offensive coordinator, maybe.
Witten, I love Witt. Eventually, I want him to be the coach here, but not now.
Inexperience.
You hire him now, you ruin him one. B, you can't hire somebody from high school who's never coached in the NFL. There will be more backlash on that than anyone ever. And finally, Dion, he's better off in college. He belongs there to lead kids to become young men. It's better for him. It's better for the kids. Better for society that Dion is taking those kids and turning them into young men.
I'm not killing a Witten hire. I'm more critical of a Dion hire than a Witten hire.
Woo!
Well,
it is reportedly down to two in Chicago. The Wiz Kid and Big Mike. Is Mike McCarthy going to get the final laugh? And could the Dallas Stars keep it up on the ice? The Friday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby just getting started with you on The Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Canadians win the draw. Shot, score! It redirected. Lane Hudson let the shot go right off the faceoff. It deflected in. Newhook, and Montreal is in front.
Victory Plus with the call. Good morning, Metroplex, and shout out to the 6 a.m. club. Sean Treifer, Jay Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, already with some eye contact games with Peyton. Oh, yeah, the mic's off. I like it.
Why is that?
After a seven-game win streak, the Stars have now lost two of three. They fall to Montreal at the AAC 3-1. Jason Robertson with another goal put the Stars up 1-0. But as has happened throughout the year, teams score immediately as Montreal ties it just 47 seconds later to stop the Stars.
he came over to my microphone over here. Hey, listen, hang on.
I
was going to say, I bet it was 60 to 65% Stars should have won.
That's an interesting, though, observation from Spittle of how other teams quickly
That is interesting. Two things. One, Jakob really played well in net for Montreal. But the other thing, they blocked a ton of shots. It was like one team was playing a playoff game and the other one was playing a regular season game. They were on the ice like crazy in this one, blocking shots. So I was not surprised that the Stars had a deserved to win-o meter of over 60%.
It was a 65. It was a really impressive game.
Ottinger takes the loss, but outstanding in the game. And what the Stars had outshot, this is playing to the percentometer, 33-24.
Yeah. They outshot them.
0-4, though, on the man advantage.
Yeah, and nobody scored in the entire game on the power play. Not even Montreal. It's just they blocked a ton of shots. They blocked like almost 25 shots in this game.
Back on the road tomorrow in Colorado for a big one against the Avs, who trail them in the Central, followed by Detroit coming to the AAC on Sunday. Spits and Suds for more hockey knowledge.
I'll pass on your apologies to Money Puck after you saw that shots on goal. So
I can't wait for them to become dead spin. 877-881-1053 is the Franco LaFranco injury attorney text line. Apparently, it is down to two in Chicago. Jordan Schultz, NFL insider on FS1.
I think it's been made clear to me that for all intents and purposes, the Chicago job, and I haven't said this publicly, but it is a two-horse race between Mike McCarthy and Ben Johnson.
Now, it is.
I think if Brian Flores goes in and wows him, then he is still in that mix. But right now, I think McCarthy and I think Ben Johnson are the two leading candidates for Chicago. And it will be really interesting to see what type of direction they want to go, because in many ways, the franchise is Caleb Williams, ideally for the next decade plus.
All right. Bobby and I are getting ready to sharpen up our apology for McCarthy if he gets another head coaching gig, because Bob, you and I did not believe that it could happen. We'll see if it does happen.
Yeah, look, I mean, you can't ever plan for the insanity of a front office like the Chicago Bears, I guess, who would say Ben Johnson, Mike McCarthy, same coach, right? Like, I mean, that's clearly we would be down to those two. If it ends up being the way that it is with the chatter about the Raiders and Brady and the pull that he has potentially with Ben Johnson, and they are left in the game of musical chairs with their other candidate, which is Mike McCarthy, good luck. And 2025 at Soldier Field when the Cowboys travel out there, it'll be I would love to see Kellen Moore designing things against the Chicago Bears and Mike McCarthy.
How much are you trusting Big Mike for QB development? Jordan Schultz says that's what this job is about.
They're going to give him an offensive coach, I believe, but he's not going to have a say in the hiring. Yes, he's the number one pick. Yes, he's the franchise. He's the cornerstone. But he's still a second-year player. It's not like he's going to Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles saying, give me Ben Johnson. He's not going to influence the decision in that capacity. But they also recognize, the Bears do, that they have now had Matt Eberflus, Luke Getsy, Shane Waldron, all of these coaches that have not connected to their players, especially this year with Caleb and Waldron. So they're desperately in need, in my opinion, of an offensive coach, an innovator that will help get Caleb from point A to point B. And if you look at Mike McCarthy, he's not a perfect coach, but one thing he has done very well is help develop an Aaron Rodgers, help develop a Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
I think in theory he could do the same thing with Caleb. Although if I'm the Bears, my number one choice should be Ben Johnson.
Innovator. Okay.
How do you think of Mike as a quarterback developer, RJ? I know that's the label on him. What do you think the reality is?
Well, I mean, look, he has to, if you're going to give coaches credit, you know, like, or blame for not developing a quarterback, even though I don't believe coaches should get credit necessarily for developing quarterbacks, because I think that's on the quarterback. But yeah, understanding that there is some to it. I mean, you have to give him credit. You can't give him credit for Dak. That's on Jason.
Who do you give NFL?
It has to be for Rodgers.
Who do you give NFL credit to for Peyton Manning?
Archie.
Peyton. NFL credit.
Peyton. I don't give a coach credit for Peyton. I don't give a coach credit.
Okay,
for,
then why are you giving McCarthy credit?
I'm
for
saying
Rodgers?
I don't generally, but I understand how the game works.
We watched you were out, so I don't think you watched it, but we watched that Aaron Rodgers documentary. When you watched that Aaron Rodgers documentary and everything, didn't you get the idea, like, Aaron Rodgers listened to no one really along the way? Like, that was just Aaron did what Aaron was going to do, and Aaron was going to study the way he studies.
I don't know. I don't know if I got all that, but...
But, like, I'm just saying, like, because a lot of people give, like, but almost everyone else gives whoever the coach is.
No,
of that
I know, but I'm
credit.
Asking yeah. you what yeah. you think.
Yeah, I don't generally give a coach credit for developing a quarterback. Now, I think what they can do is they can give them a philosophical understanding of, you know, of preparation of the sport, of relaxation, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But they can't help a quarterback. You either process things or you don't. You know what I mean? But if you're going to give any coaches credit or blame, then you've got to give it to him too, because he did at the time. I mean, he was there right when Aaron started his career.
I want to be wrong about Mike getting hired, because I want Mike to get hired in Chicago. I don't want him to get hired in New Orleans.
Orleans would give him no chance to ever win. At least Chicago, he would have a chance to win.
It's better for storylines. The Cowboys go there. Yeah. Like,
destroy Caleb Williams as a threat within the conference. That's a big deal.
Man, you're saying sharper things now than you did yesterday in the expressway.
By the way, if the Bears do hire Mike McCarthy, this would be...
Screw you.
This would be the second time...
You're about to get an anonymous email.
This would be the second time in their 100-year history that they hired a head coach with previous coaching experience.
What? Say that again?
If the Bears hire Mike McCarthy, this would be the second time in their 100-year history that they hired a head coach that had previously been an NFL head coach.
So isn't that a credit to them? They're always trying to find the next thing.
Wow.
They're not going retread.
That was John Fox. That was it. A couple years ago. Every other coach, from Trestman to Eberflus to Hallis. Ditka, even Hallis. I mean, Hallis is the first head coach, obviously. Every other one had no previous head coaching experience in the NFL.
I would zoom in on Bobby Belt as we play this clip of the man who, for the first time ever, did not respond to me when I DM'd him.
You're welcome.
Dan Orlovsky says that Mike McCarthy is the perfect Bears fit.
The three most important boxes. Number one, walk into the locker room, you immediately have a winner. The expectation is to now win. I don't have to figure out or hope or cross my fingers that he can win. He's done it everywhere he's gone. Number two, every quarterback that he's had develops to a higher level under him. Mm-hmm. He did it with Aaron Rodgers. And what was Aaron Rodgers when he was young? Super talented. Wildly creative, needed to play on time a little bit.
Very Caleb Williams.
Yeah. But he didn't take away that beauty of the game away, right? Yeah. Matt Flynn played under Mike McCarthy, lit it up. Dak Prescott went to a new level. And I know Dak Prescott wasn't, quote unquote, like young when he went there, but he was on still the heart of his career. I think the third thing is this. Caleb, where's the number one place he's got to grow? Caleb, what's the play? What's the defense? What does that mean to me? Caleb last year still played with a question mark way too often. Mike McCarthy will make it an exclamation point. We're calling this play, you're throwing the ball here versus this coverage. If it gets covered, then go make a play.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's why I love him.
You know, this is perfect Orlovsky, and if we ever get Dan on again when Bobby takes vacation, I would ask him, you have been calling out, how can both things be true? You've been calling out the Dallas Cowboys offensive system over the past year as archaic. Yet, Mike McCarthy is the guy? Like, you're calling out Kellen Moore, who I respect Dan's take because Kellen is a friend of Dan's, apparently. And he's like, the big problem with the Philadelphia Eagles are the offensive schemes right now. It's not Jalen Hurts. But are you going to give a future endorsement to Kellen Moore? How can both things be true? You think that Mike McCarthy is behind the times and running something prehistoric, but he's the Caleb Williams answer.
I think one of two things, maybe the possibility is
two
one.
Thirds.
Yeah. Maybe he thinks McCarthy was it was the Cowboys that were the problem. Like their organization was behind the times and was kind of handcuffing McCarthy. I don't know. Because it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense for the schemes being run.
Not unless they were dumbing it down for Dak, and that is his real problem, which is what he doesn't want to say, that Dak wasn't good enough, smart enough to be able to handle it. I don't know.
You know what this comes down to, again? It's that he makes up all of his takes. This is what he does. And this is what he then goes, I never said that. I never did that. I never did this or that. And no, it's definitely not a dumbing down of Dak, because remember, one of the other million rants he's had where he plays every side to the middle is the, well, you can't handcuff Dak. You can't pull him back. That's an awful decision from the Cowboys to potentially neuter Dak. Like, he will give you every single take. He'll make it sound like it's the same one he has always had because he's an effing liar. He is a lying human being. He is a phony. He is a fraud. He needs to be off of television. If I could press a button to just eliminate two people from the earth, I would press the Dan Orlovsky button twice and just never have to deal with him again. He is awful.
Two people. Live on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. Sean Treve.
The boys from 105.3.
Sean Treve, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We have our final ticket giveaways for you turning it on, leaving it on. Dallas open tickets during the 720 Expressway and AEW tickets during the 9 o'clock hour. Dave Campo is going to join us at 8 to talk about Dion.
Oh, yeah, in underwear.
But as soon as we got off the air yesterday, someone hit me up, and it's now the second person to tell me the one person in Frisco who may not allow Dion to happen. I'll tell you what I know. And see if you think it's a humongous problem next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. Going to try to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean Treve, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt with you. Thanks for being a Tolo. We want to hook you up with our final tickets to the Dallas Open during the 7 o'clock commercial-free expressway. Yesterday in Crosstalk, I was holding hands with Kevin Hagelin as the news came out from Ed Werder that Dion would take the Cowboy job and Jerry Jones was enamored with the idea. Here's Ed with more on the Dan Patrick Show.
Everything I continue to be told, Dan, is that Jerry is interested. It was described to me as he's enamored with the idea. Obviously, it's hard to imagine any coaching candidate who could create more interest, someone that Jerry could more sell to the fan base here, which needs to happen, and make Jerry more money than Deion Sanders. I mean, he won a Super Bowl here as a player. So there are also people around Deion who tell me that he's being urged by his supporters in Colorado to take the job, and that they believe if Jerry ever does offer him the job, that he will take it, that he has an extension to remain at Colorado on his desk that he hasn't even looked at as he considers these other possibilities. But, you know, I mean, there are also people close to Deion who tell me they don't see it happening, but they've seen things happen with Jerry Jones that they didn't expect to happen before.
Deion has a Colorado extension on his desk. He did something last night that made me feel a little uneasy. And it was a Tolo on Instagram who DM'd me and said, check this out on Deion's stories. And it was Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett doing their thing. And they're like, is Deion the head coach of the Cowboys? And they're like, no, it's close, though. It needs to happen. And Deion shared that. And I don't know why, Bobby. I don't know how that's much different from him leaking stuff to Schefter and hyping all that up, but that made me feel like this was a lot of entertainment and show for prime time.
Yeah, I don't know that it's as much.
The Tolo said, "Oh, this shows Dion really, really wants it," and I was like, "I don't know if it shows he really, really wants it, or he just really, really wants us talking about
like
it."
Like flirtatious, yeah. It definitely takes a level of seriousness out of it, or it feels like it does. Where yeah. At the very least, it's like, okay, either that shows that it's a little showy potentially, which Dion always has been. That's not unusual for Dion, or it shows that. I guess sort of, I want to be careful about the word I use here. It shows a sort of the amateur nature at times of Dion, where he still doesn't understand like the professionalism of being a head coach.
Yeah.
That it doesn't change the fact that he may really want that. It's just that he doesn't know how you handle those sort of things.
It made me think for my 25-minute drive in, I was weighing back and forth like the professionalism versus like clown show. The show versus professionalism, because as you track Dion, a lot of falsehoods are becoming reality. He said he would never coach in the National Football League because he was too old school for these guys. He said, then I would coach, you know, if it was with my kids. Mm-hmm. And now it's, no, I could coach Dak. I don't necessarily have to have Shador or the team drafting my son. So we're going with what Dion has said versus what has been reported.
And what was it? It was the, oh, let me take my laptop. Let me go step out onto the porch and show you these mountains and show you why I'd never leave here. And that was about a question directly related to like the Cowboys.
Yeah. So I put up the poll. By the way, Choppy, you may have noticed on the fan cam, got up and walked away at the beginning of the segment for an exciting phone call.
The big fella, Nate Newton.
Big Nate.
Well, he called. I texted him last night, and he called. He will join us at 7:20.
Nice!
Yep.
So we got Nate Newton at 7:20. I can't wait for this based upon your conversations with him every Wednesday night in
Nate's
Frisco.
Awesome. Nate is so good. I'm honestly, I'm stunned. Nate's coming on.
Did he reply to you, to Choppy and not you?
No, Choppy had already texted him, I knew, so I didn't text him.
Okay. We both texted Playmaker. And I got a random Michael Irvin phone call yesterday.
Man, wow. I got to say.
What a flex.
Michael's pants might be a little too tight. Nobody butt dials more than Michael Irvin. Either that or.
It wasn't a butt dial.
Oh, it wasn't. No. Okay, because he butt dials me all the time. And I'm like, how big is that thing that it just is calling phones?
Why are his pants tight?
It's just like, it's just calling.
Because he wears those black sparkly ones. Where's these rainbow bright twinkle twinkle little star pants? I gotta talk to him about that.
Got a hammer.
But, so Michael calls me and I hear all this like talking in the background, like a PA system. I'm on a flight. I'm landing right now. And I'm like, okay. Because I had texted Mike, you gotta come on. I want Dion. Let's hype it up. And he's like, we need to hype this up. We need to do it. I'll call you back in 2 hours. I said, okay, Mike.
Did you anticipate you were actually going to get called back in 2 hours?
No, I did not. I did not. And I was not going to pick it up because deal with more chaos in the house with things and the sicknesses. But I texted him this morning. I said, when you wake up, whether it's in Jamaica or wherever I think you told me you were, get on before 10 a.m. So we'll see what happens with the always moving Michael Irvin. So I can't wait for Nate at 7:20. He's going to bring it,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he is. I can't wait. Be exciting.
As soon as I put up a poll question, by the way, yesterday, do you want Dion as coach of the Cowboys? The options were yes to prime, no, just more circus. 2,400 Tolos voted on this. What do you think the result was?
How would
you vote?
I think it's probably 60-40 yes.
Pretty good. 57-43, yes. 57-43. How would you vote? For football winning.
For football winning, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay. And that's the is it juxtaposition?
Yep.
That's what I'm in now. It's like I'm having a tug of war in my own head on what's best for the football team versus what the fun
thing is. Let's answer it for football winning. You said no.
Yeah, no, I would say no. I would say no.
Bob?
No for football winning. No. I just don't. And I've been wrong on Deion at a couple different points already. And so I can own that, but I don't think that changes the fact that I don't think that's going to work here again. But like in the NFL, period.
Pepe, would you vote yes or no that you want Deion for winning games?
I'm still all in. I'm yes. I'm with you, Sean. I think he brings a different vibe to the culture. I think the players would actually respect him on the sideline if they brought Deion there. He just brings a different vibe than the old Mike McCarthy ways.
This may be too simplistic a way to put it, but if you just take this past year, let's say injury situation happens the exact same way. Dak gets hurt in the Atlanta game, everything, but everything else is the same. They finished 7-10. What's their record if you think Deion's coaching them this past year? What's their record if you think Kellen Moore's coaching them this past year? Like, do you think it's any different, worse, better?
It's probably the same.
You think it's exactly 7-10? So does that maybe say you don't think coaching matters as much?
That's a total non-factor for me. It might be a little bit worse. Like, Mike's best work, as you mentioned last night, may be with the backup quarterbacks.
I mean, yeah, he was going into, yeah, he had started like 9-4 with Cooper Rush.
Look, here's the way I view backup quarterbacks taking over your season. I can only give you credit as a coach. I can't take away. That's my rule. If Belichick works that miracle season with Matt Castle, if Kevin O'Connell does it with Sam Darnold, I'm saying, holy crap, you're next level. If you bottom out and suck and you're terrible, Kyle Shanahan, I'm not killing you for having a no-name, unwatchable player play the position. Let me get into this for a second. As soon as we ended the show yesterday, someone immediately hit me up. And this is now the second person, so
two sources, I believe it.
Two sources.
And someone said, Deion's not happening here. And the reason is Stephen Jones. That Stephen is not a Deion fan. Didn't really explain that much more. Why? What would be the issue? What would be the problem? But we do have these reports from Jane saying Jerry has taken the lead. Jerry's like going out there on a mission, making the phone calls, having the discussions, maybe doing the negotiation. We haven't heard anything about Stephen here. We haven't heard a lot about Stephen, his right-hand man. What do y'all make of that possibility, I believe probability, that Stephen would not be a Deion fan?
I totally buy it. I don't know what it was like in the 90s, you know, when Deion got here, what Stephen was, their relationship was. I have no idea. But, I mean, I buy it. It makes a lot of sense.
Let me remind you of something that happened in the 90s, as the all-time classic clip has reemerged of when Jerry went out his nose first, taking the lead, and signed Prime.
Everything with me going to the Cowboys was Jerry. Everybody in Jerry's family wasn't with it.
I was our capologist at the time. I was really the guy learning the cap. Had a really good feel for it.
And I know you're trying to get the numbers, and this is what we ought to be doing, is the hard numbers. But when you really look at it, we really don't have many like this.
And Jerry comes in there and goes, boy, he's smiling ear to ear. And he goes, guess what? And I said, what? We got us a cornerback. Deion's coming to Dallas. And he goes, it's very simple. We give him $13 million signing bonus and 3 years of minimum salaries. And I go, that's like record setting. That's not going to sit well with our team. And he goes, we can't do that. And he goes, well, I already did it.
He basically shoves me up against the door with his forearm, and I looked at him and kind of smiled. I said, you're really not going to hit me, are you?
And, of course, I took a deep breath, and he said, look, here's what we'll do. I can already tell you I'll be able to sell Troy, Michael, and Nemeth that this is going to be good for us. Doesn't hurt us under the cap.
Right, I called a team meeting and put Deion's salary numbers on the board so that everybody could look at it. And I said, now I'm going to ask this room, do you want Deion or Knight? And of course, the deal was a big yes, we want him.
Where was that story in Land, man, about Stephen pushing Jerry up against the door?
That has to be Jerry's new nickname, by the way.
Look,
Land Man.
Is that is a good one.
Land the man then in Prime. Come on, land him.
Like, as much as Jason Garrett was like another son to Jerry Jones, Jason didn't have as direct an influence over Jerry as Steven does. Steven is the number one influence of Jerry. I don't know that Steven's totally the number one influence of Jerry if Deion Sanders is here. It might be a little closer. That just he may really love Deion, like personally. I don't know. But I could definitely see
it could be a turf battle.
I could definitely see where it's like, hey, we have enough odd structural build here in Dallas. That's going to make things even more wonky.
It is. I mean, it could. I mean, Deion can handle it well, too. I mean, he can.
Have we known Deion to cede any potential authority that he has?
No, because he doesn't have to. He's Deion Sanders.
Right.
Like, that's
I don't think he would do that here.
Well, someone tweeted, it was Nicholas said, someone tell Steven to take the keys away from Jerry. Cowboys are unwatchable at this point. And I wrote back and said, I want Jerry to take the keys back from Steven. And let's get buck wild with this damn thing. Nate Newton at 720. Just something I heard. Now two people, and I'm starting to believe it. I want to hear from Steven on the possibility of Deion. And will that just stop it? Will that just put an end to it? Or will Jerry win out? Like he did back in the day signing him. That's the big question.
Yeah.
If Steven's against it, because if I'm Jerry, I'm like, I don't want to hear anymore. We've tried it your way. We've done it your way. We've been conservative. We've been frugal. I'm getting murdered out here. These guys on the morning show are taking me apart nonstop. And I got a few years left. I'm going out my way. I am tired of laying up in two or whatever their golf analogy is. I'm driving the green, mofo. Let's do it, JJ. Let's do it. Let's take a look at what people say is the best football weekend of the year. We preview the NFL divisional round. Who are you rooting for? And Nate Newton to talk primetime at 720. All next with Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.